The Skagway Assembly discusses how it appoints a new member to the Assembly. And results are expected Tuesday on an investigation into the Haines election. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week twice appointed Jim Sager to fill the seat left empty by newly elected Mayor Mark Schaefer. Twice, because it was determined out of order for the Assembly to have appointed Sager during a special meeting Tuesday, because the appointment did not appear in the agenda. So, the item came back at Thursday's regular meeting. While Sager was appointed to fill Schaefer's term, or a one-year term, with no objection, the process of how someone was chosen for the seat was discussed at length. Assemblyman Gary Hansen originally objected to the appointment at the special meeting because he said he would prefer the public have an opportunity to weigh in at the regular meeting. He also questioned whether Duppy Takaro should be considered for the seat. Takaro ran in the election for one of the two open seats, but came in third with 44% of the vote.
That's a significant amount. That's 156 citizens that were telling us that they thought that Duppy would make a good Assembly member.
Assemblyman Dan Henry was firmly opposed to that consideration. He didn't specifically say he objected to Takaro, but said the process for filling an open Assembly seat in his 17 years on the Assembly has been from a recommendation by the mayor and appointment by the Assembly. The outcome of the election should have no bearing on how someone is appointed to the Assembly, he said.
I can't give any weight to the I came in third thing. It doesn't hold water. It was an election for two people.
He also said it shouldn't matter that Takaro ran for election when Sager had not.
And because you ran is not the criteria to be considered. Anybody can throw their hat in the ring, see what the qualifications are to get on the ballot. It's not too tough. You have to have a pulse. You have to be over 21. You have to be here more than 30 days of voters registration. That's it. So because you threw your hat in the ring, it is not a persuasive argument to me. Because you've been dedicated to your community, that helps. But certainly your abilities and qualities that you bring to the table is certainly going to be a big consideration.
But for Assemblymember Spencer Morgan, the fact Takaro had ran for election and made his views on issues known was a good reason for considering him for an appointment. Although Henry again challenged that idea.
Where I'm coming from is I've never known where Jim was coming from for basically because his hat was never in the ring. We have an election because people throw their views out there so that we understand where they're coming from, and then we can make that choice.
And they clearly made the choice that they don't want him.
156 made the choice that they did.
Mayor Schaefer said he gave careful consideration to recommending Sager and not Takaro. One of his reasons was personal, he said. But he also said neither of the losing candidates, Takaro nor Tyler Rose, approached him, and no one else suggested Takaro or Rose for appointment. But he said he did have someone suggest Sager to him. And Schaefer said while Takaro likely didn't have the votes to get appointed to the Assembly, he thought Sager was someone who could draw a consensus vote.
He is a rational thinker. I think he's got a reasonable thought process. And I thought, and I was correct at the last meeting, that it was somebody that this table could live with. And that's the main reason I brought him forward.
The appointment of Jim Sager passed unanimously. The meeting was broke to swear in Sager so he could join the meeting. One citizen also spoke about the process. Orion Hansen said he was concerned about how an assembly member is appointed when a mayor is elected from the assembly. He said the process should be questioned in those cases when a third vacancy in an election seems a given.
And I think that it needs to be examined as to how, if the mayor is recently elected. It seemed to many people that there were three open seats when in fact there were not. But in reality, there were, because you had one candidate running unopposed for mayor, and so therefore you had an immediate vacancy.
The Assembly then continued with other business, including amending the budget to allocate more funding for the Small Boat Harbor Improvement Project and Wastewater Treatment Plant Improvement Project. The borough is waiting on the company that worked on the wastewater treatment plant project, McGraw, to sign a settlement agreement because of disputes in the project. Details of the settlement are not available to the public until McGraw signs it. The Assembly also reorganized the borough's capital improvement project priorities list. The list goes to the state for consideration in the governor's capital budget. The renovation of the small boat harbor remained in the first position. The Assembly decided to move the Port Gateway project into number 2, followed by the public safety building. The discussion was that keeping the harbor and Port Gateway project together on the list might mean a better chance of funding for both. The Lyersville-Klondike Highway bike path was kept at number 4, although the Assembly removed Lyersville from the title, and Main Street sidewalk replacement and paving round out the list. The Assembly also met in executive session about the diocese land sale and White Pass lease negotiations. The Assembly approved of Henry further discussing particulars with White Pass and bringing details of that discussion back for consideration in executive session on November 7th. The Haines Assembly meets Tuesday, and the evening starts with a report on the investigation into the recent election. The Assembly will first meet as a committee of the whole at 5:30 to receive and discuss the report. Borough Attorney Brooks Chandler, Interim Manager Julie Causey, and Acting Clerk Michelle Webb are the team investigating the October 1st election after a contest was filed. As of last week, they were expecting to have the report ready Tuesday and not ask for more time to complete it. That follows public meetings last week when Chandler questioned election workers, voters, Causey and Webb, and representatives with the company that programs AccuVote voting machines. The Assembly won't take action in the committee meeting, but they are expected to decide in the regular meeting how to proceed. Depending on Chandler's recommendations, the Assembly could decide not to certify the election results and order a new election. Or they could certify results and they stand as is, unless someone decides to challenge the certification in court. The Assembly is taking up most of the rest of the agenda under consent items, meaning they won't get discussed. Those items include introducing ordinances to change fees and penalties for code violations and prohibiting motorized use on the Chilkat River Beach's recreational zone. The Assembly will discuss scheduling an ordinance about the procedure for amending the commercial ski tour area map, confirming the museum director hire, and approving recommended changes to the policies about heliskiing GPS data collection and compliance. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday evening as a committee of the whole beginning at 5:30, with the regular meeting to follow at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. For a complete agenda and meeting packet, visit the Haynesboro website. Alaska's 2013 salmon harvest will be one for the record books, and the southeast harvest was more valuable than that of any other part of the state. Matt Lichtenstein has more on the overall catch and value for the region.
Panhandle fishermen landed more than 104 million salmon in 2013, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which estimates a preliminary value of over $219 million. That's second only in value to 2011, when the region saw a total salmon catch worth more than $225 million. This year's value could very well surpass that after post-season price adjustments are in. Southeast Alaska's big season was propelled by an all-time record pink salmon catch of more than 89 million fish worth $124 million. The vast majority of pinks are caught by seiners. Jaron Bruce is assistant director of the Division of Commercial Fisheries.
Southeast Alaska is a huge pink salmon producing area. You know, it's a large area geographically, and it has lots and lots of pink salmon producing streams in it. And so it's got a lot of potential. And when the conditions are right, that potential flowers and it produces a lot of fish. I mean, we've caught, 70 million before. So, we are going to be over 90 probably this year. So, it's not on the harvest this year is not, sort of order of magnitude above what we've seen in other peak years.
But Bruce found it remarkable that the entire Gulf region from southeast to the Alaska Peninsula produced very good or record pink numbers.
So generally, ocean conditions for these pink salmon were very good. And a lot of them survived. Now, they were smaller than typical. They were small fish, which indicates, you know, that there was competition out there in the ocean for food. It didn't mean that a bunch of them died because they couldn't find something to eat, but they didn't grow as fast as they might have grown if there was less competition.
The Southeast chum salmon catch was down this year and worth less than half as much as last year. Yet with an estimated value of $43 million, chum still represented the next most lucrative species for the region. All of the gear groups benefited from a big coho haul of 3.5 million fish worth $23 million. That's nearly 1.5 million more fish worth more than $4 million over last year. While the Southeast king salmon quota was down substantially, the catch was worth more than $17.4 million, $1.4 million above 2012. Most of the kings are caught by trollers. Taking volume and price into account, sockeye was the least valuable species for Southeast, where the catch of just over 900,000 fish was worth a preliminary estimate of around $10 million on the docks in 2013. That's up about $2 million from last year. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Despite the record numbers, many local fishermen are saying things were a little different here in the Lynn Canal. We're going to bring you a local analysis of this season in an upcoming report. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.